Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as I give you some simple gifts. I mean, lots and lots of simple gifts. I mean, like a ton of simple, or what I like to call a simpleton. Wait. Yeah, that's accurate. So glad you're here. Oh, hello, my friends. It's so wonderful to visit with you. I love to visit. I like to visit anything. I like to visit the past and the future. You know that. I got a little bit of a time machine. It doesn't always work right. But a lot of times, the places I visit are in the present because the past echoes into the present. And also, the future does, too. A lot of people don't know that, and I won't spoil it for you. So this week, my friends and I visited the Shaker Village near us here in Kentucky. I've been there many, many times, and we like to go there, sort of have a peaceful experience. It's very nice. We like old buildings. I like the smell of old things and people and everything. And so we went there this week, and I just love it. And I love talking about the Shakers. I'm interested in them. Say Shaker, like salt shaker? No, not like salt shaker. Let me tell you about salt. When I visited the south of France years ago, I went to a salt marsh called the Camargue. And in the salt marsh, there is a walled city called Aigues-Mortes, or Dead Waters. Isn't that a beautiful name for a town? Where are you from? I'm from Dead Waters. And that walled city has a tremendous history. And one of the things that happened was in 1421, during the Hundred Years' War. It was occupied, the area, by the Burgundians, and they were allied with the English, I believe, and the Burgundians tried to take over the city, and they entered the city, they got in this walled city, and the people in the city were loyal to the King of France, so they slaughtered all the Burgundians. So now you have that problem when you slaughter your enemy, have all these dead corpses, what are you going to do? So they shoved them in the tower, and they salted them. Because they had lots of salt, because they were in a salt marsh, salt, salt, salt. And so they made a giant salt shaker of rotting corpses and salt. Isn't that lovely? And that's where we get the expression, salt Burgundians. We don't really have that expression, I guess, but they do over there. Oh, I like history. I like reading about history. It's brutal and it's beautiful. It's all mixed up together. And the farther away we get from the brutal, the easier it is to understand. But at the time, if you can imagine it, just horrifying. Well, this is a different kind of shaker. These Shakers are an American sect that started, they split off, this is my understanding, which is, you know, it's limited and wrong. Split off from the Quakers. Quakers, Shakers, all sorts of American sects have a funny name like that, don't they? Quakers, Shakers, my ancestors were Crimpet Bakers, and they went on to found the Tasty Cake Company in Philadelphia. This is not true, but boy, I love these little cakes. I'm not for any one company or anything, but God, I love them. The butterscotch on it. That's my kind of religion right there. Little cakes to have with tea. Oh, I like simple things, and the Shakers like simple things too. In fact, a simple gifts is that Shaker hymn that we're all familiar with. So we all have heard that, haven't we? Well, they like to, the Shakers split off because they like to do things like dance and sing. They get so full of the spirit. You know how that is. Maybe you don't, but you should. Oh, it's so good to be overcome with joy or gratefulness that you just want to move and stomp your feet, make sort of funky hand motions. There was a thing that was called the Shaker Jazz Hands, and they didn't call it that, and they would make some kind of scooping motions, and they'd make little gestures to go along with their singing, and they'd stomp their feet and everything like that, and do it in these big empty halls so it would resonate, and people thought they were nuts at the time. They say, oh, this is of the devil, look at them moving around like that. But the human body wants to express things, both joy and sadness. It wants to move. It wants to cry out and sing. Oh, so just let it. So I like going to these places where people had, and you say, oh, you know, are they utopian? And you know, that's so foolish. It's foolish to be idealistic and to try to achieve some sort of state of living together. It's just not going to happen. Well, how do you know? I mean, you know, you're going to try. And we're all doing things in the midst of chaos. If we were in a boat and it was leaking, you'd still be bailing, even if you thought, well, this is pointless. What are you going to sit there and sink? Say, no, because I can get a few extra minutes. Why go to the doctor? You're just going to die eventually anyway. Why do anything? So it's not an unusual idea to strive in the face of futility, is it? Everything is futile. So it doesn't matter. Just trying to get a couple extra minutes. Just like my unusual theme song says, you know, just a few minutes with you is worth 1,000 years to me. It really is. I know things will end eventually, so I want to live right here in the moment with you and just get those extra seconds. I'll do what it takes. If I have to cut my salt intake so I live a little longer, that's fine. I'll do that. I don't want to leave you. So there you go. So we like to visit, my friends and I. We like to go on these little trips and explore and learn and imagine we're living in the past like that. And then imagine that we can leave in a car, which is exciting to me. So let's get out of here. You know, I need a diet soda or something. I do not drink diet soda. I was just said that for entertainment purposes. What do you like? I don't know. Lots of things. I like lemonade. The Shakers make a lemon pie. It's sometimes called a higher lemon pie, I think. And you cut up the entire lemon, peel it all, and you make it, soak it in sugar, and then you put it in this pie, and it's the most lemony lemon. It's like lemon marmalade in a pie. It's absolutely exquisite. It's the best thing on earth to me. Well, a lot of I say that about a lot of things, but boy, I could just sing the praises of pie. I could sing hymns about lemon pie the way I could other people do about nature or God or anything. Is, oh, that lemon pie. I don't know whether other things are real. You know, I don't really know what's going on, but I know that how that lemon pie tastes and and how it smells. Ooh, on the Jewish holiday where there's a holiday called Sukkot, where you build booths, and it's passed already. So I'd like to do that. We have to wait till it comes around again. And one of the things you do is you get this thing called an etrog, and it's just it's a souped-up lemon or something. And you, what you do is you smell it, and it smells so beautiful. The fragrance is amazing. It's a little lemony, flowery, and it's just amazing how smells can bring you to another place. So a beautiful, sweet smell, or even horse manure. She's just a farmer's daughter, but all the horse manure. That's one of the things that my grandfather taught me. I wish he hadn't. But I like all those smells, you know, the good, the bad, and the funky. Just makes me feel like I'm alive. Some people lost their sense of smell, and eating is not as pleasurable to them. We don't all have our senses, and you don't need them all to want to be alive. We all have things in. Some of us are not sighted. Some of us do not have hearing. It doesn't diminish them as individuals at all. Just, you know, being alive can be a tremendous experience. It is, at the very least, exciting. Might not always be pleasurable, but it's, boy, it's eventful. I'll tell you that much. And so I don't mind experiencing it. I know it's going to be over, for good or bad, it's going to be over sooner or later. So, just, you know, keep moving forward, I suppose. So we got in the car and we drove out there to the Shaker Village, and you go in there, and it's, I mean, part of it's modernized. They got a visitor center, which I don't think was there originally. And I don't think you had to buy a ticket. I don't think there were computer screens or things like that, you know, but things have to modernize a little bit. And as we preserve history, we must do certain things. You know, like put up signs that weren't there. Said, this is where they all use the bathroom. All right, they would have known that if you were living there. Do you notice how in your own house you don't have a sign on the bathroom that says bathroom? Because you're familiar with it. But when people come over, they go, "Guy, where's your restroom?" And then you got to give them directions. Wouldn't it be easier to say, "Just walk down the hall, look for the sign, buddy"? But no, we could take the, when you're living there, you don't need the signs. But if you're unfamiliar with a place, then you need things explained to you a little bit, where they are. And I wish everything had signs on it. I certainly wish we all had name tags. I have been to houses of worship where they make you wear a name tag. And you say, "Oh, that's terrible." No, it's so liberating. And I went to one where even people that went there every week had a name tag on. Because, bless all our hearts, for various reasons, you forget names and it's embarrassing. And sometimes it keeps you from fellowship. You say, "I don't want to go because I forget the name. I've been introduced to that person a dozen times. I'm so embarrassed to forget their name." And they say the name tags right on there. You say, "Hello, I'm so glad to see you, Irving." And it's beautiful that way. I like it. And I feel freer because I'm so embarrassed when I forget somebody's name. And I forget names because I'm stressed out when I'm meeting people because I'm thinking, "I'm going to forget their name or forget their name." And I totally do. If I was more relaxed, maybe I'd remember things. So we got in the car, Butchie and Lou and I, and we drove out there. And I should probably just stop telling you about it and let you listen. Here's our trip to the Shaker Village. "'Tis the gift to be simple."
"Oh, look, ducks in a pen, and they're drinking water."
"Man, you're easily amused."
"I wonder why they don't just fly away."
"Ducks can't fly."
I think they can."
"Nope,
but I've seen them fly."
"You thought you did. Ducks can't fly. I'll bet you $10.
"Okay."
"See, I just read a book called Dodos and Ducks, The History of Flightless Birds. And here, I'm checking the wiki page. Ducks. Listen, ducks, a flightless bird, is a member of the genus Anatquacus. There, you owe me $10.
"Oh, man, I was so sure."
"Yeah, well,
what are you guys doing?"
"I just lost a bet to Butchie. I'm so stupid. I thought ducks could fly."
"They can."
But Butchie said..."
"Butchie, you lied, didn't you?" "So what? I won the bet. That's what matters."
"But you lied."
"Yeah, lying is the new clever. Come on, man. You don't want to make things more confusing for Lou than they already are."
"Thanks, I think."
"Okay, I lied. Ducks can fly."
"I knew it."
"But I'm keeping the $10 to teach you a lesson. Actions have consequences."
"Thanks for looking out for me, Butch."
"No problem. Hey, let's go in this building."
'Tis the gift to be free.
Come on in, folks. Come on in. Come on in. This is why the Shakers would put up food, store food for the winter. All the things in here are handmade."
"Question."
"Yes, sir."
"I always thought it was pronounced Shucker, but I hear you say Shaker. Is that the preferred pronunciation?"
Yes, sir."
"I heard that Shaker is an acronym for their full name, which is United Society of Believers in Christ's Second Appearing."
"You idiot, that would be Usobixa."
"Oh, how is that pronounced Shaker?"
They got their name because people called them Shaking Quakers."
"Oh, like the cereal."
"Question."
"Yes?"
"You say they made these chairs themselves."
"Yes, sir."
"With what?"
"Well, with tools."
"Did they also make the tools?"
Yes, sometimes."
"What I'm getting at is this, that if they made the tools, they would need tools to do that. And at some point, you must make a tool without using a tool." "Oh, brother."
I think they bought some of them."
"I see. I have a question."
"Yes?"
"Where's the John?"
"I think they call it a privy, and I'm pretty sure it's not open to the public."
"No, I mean the one for customers."
"We're customers?"
"Oh, that's in the welcome center, sir."
"Okay, I'll catch up with yins later."
'Tis the gift to come down where we ought to be.
Wow, It looks like a cleaner version of the Boy Scout Lodge.
Yeah, but it doesn't smell like socks.
This is the meeting house where the Shakers would gather to make a joyful noise.
Like, woohoo!
Or, my horse won and yours lost. Ha 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 ha! Woohoo!
No, like hymns and such. They would sing and stomp their feet.
It's a good stomping room.
Okay, stop. Stop.
It sounds great.
It sounds grating. And why are you wearing dress shoes?
My uncle used to work for Chuck McCann.
Nothing about that made sense.
I love the acoustics. It makes me want to sing or recite poetry. I want to express my joy.
Will these Shaker wall pegs fit in my ears?
They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper, and the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away.
So that's your joy.
Well, my joy is yelling that there's love in the world, that I was shown love and goodness, and that the wicked cannot know this ultimate joy.
Can I yell out my joy?
Sure, Lou.
The first grandma from ancient times knows I'm here. The first man to die will guide me to heaven. Water is mighty. The wind is mighty. The earth is mighty. Fire is mighty. They have my respect. Each creature and each thought has its own angel. I can fly in my mind. I am free even in prison because my true self dwells with my ancestors.
All right, Lou. Butchie, yell your joy.
All right. Spinoza, Spinoza, Spinoza.
You're just going to yell your last name?
Is there anything else?
Anything I say is an expression of joy. Your expression is my expression. Nothing is really separate. We are one mind, walled off from each other only by the illusion of time. Everything is contained in this grand thing. If you must say God, then God is everything that was and will be and that is. You are sparks from one great explosion of will. Nothing is writ, yet nothing is erased. The great tragedy of our existence is our blindness to our unity. Wickedness is the dark, empty spaces of our perceived separateness. Love is the bright, blinding light of unity. I am wedded to the stars through the tapestry of creation. I am a wave. I am a musical note. I dwell in the one ever-changing spirit that contains ducks and people and Shaker meeting halls and planets and galaxies. Feel the burning glory of the one will.
Holy crap.
Amen, Butchie. Let's get out of here. It stinks of sincerity.
And when we find ourselves in the place just right...
Man, it's so beautiful out here.
It really is. I feel all the stress of daily life melting away.
What stress? You don't have any stress.
I love the smells.
You mean that odor?
It's the smell of leaves and dirt and horse poop.
You like the smell of horse poop?
Sorta. I like musty, earthy smells. They make me feel more alive and connected to the earth.
You're definitely connected to poop.
What smells do you like, Butch?
I like bus exhaust, city smells. It reminds me that other people are busting their butts to get ahead and I'm not. There's nothing more life-affirming than the feeling you're getting away with something.
Let's just stand here for a minute and take it all in.
I'm going to quick check my phone in case somebody needs us. What's this news alert? Oh, Lord, no. Oh, that's terrible.
I don't want to know.
What is it, Lou?
Look.
Oh, my Lord. How could that happen?
Look, Butchie.
No thanks. I'm sure it's tragic.
How could such a horrible thing happen?
Are you serious?
Look at all this beauty. Look at this world. How are both things in it? All that peace and all that violence.
I don't know, man.
Let me see.
Oh, dear God.
Can we be silent for a minute?
I think that would be a good idea.
Will be in the valley of love and delight.
Let's walk down here closer to the stream. Are you allowed to go down there?
Allowed? I'm allowed to do anything.
Watch your step. Hey, there's somebody here.
She's all dressed up. I bet she's a historic reenactor.
Hello, ma'am.
Hello, brethren.
Brethren, ha ha!
Did you come to delight by the stream?
Actually, I was thinking about chunking rocks into it.
You do not look familiar to me. How long have you dwelled among us?
We don't dwell here. We dwell in town. We're just tourists.
Tourists? Is that a similar faith to our society?
Yeah, we're devout Orthodox tourists.
I see.
So, I don't want you to break character or anything, but I didn't realize there were historic reenactors here.
I do not understand.
People dressed as Shakers.
That I am, but I am troubled.
What troubles ye?
I remember falling into this stream and a pain in my head as it hit a rock, and then... Well, now I feel confused.
Oh, you'd hit it off with this guy. He's perpetually confused.
Oh, gee.
You don't seem to have a mark.
What's your name? My name is Anne... I can't recall. It is troubling.
Maybe you're a ghost.
Butchie, cut it out.
Could I be a mere spirit? Did I perish here?
Man, she's good.
What do you remember?
I remember coming to this village and finding kindred spirits. I remember feeling a sense of belonging and a life that was very different from the one I left. My husband died. He was cruel. But then I had nothing and nowhere to go, so I found myself here where I was shown mercy and grace among those who found joy in God and in simple daily tasks. I felt cherished for once.
Oh, that's a good feeling.
It was hard to learn to cooperate with others, sharing a room with two others, working together. But it's worth it.
We struggle to get along because we share a house, but it's worth it.
Well...
Excuse me, folks. Oh, hey. Could you come back up here? We like visitors to stay away from the stream. It's a bit of a hazard.
Oh, sorry. Not sorry.
We were just exploring.
Oh, I understand. I just want to keep you safe.
Well, we appreciate it.
We were just talking to one of your historic reenactors.
What? Your reenactors?
Oh, we don't have any reenactors. Some villages do.
But... We were just talking to...
Ixnay.
All right, well, you're welcome to explore the rest of the village.
Thank you.
Thank you. Man, that ghost lady seems sweet.
What did the one ghost say to the other ghost when the other ghost asked, how do I scare this lady living in this house? Shake her furniture. Shaker furniture, we've all heard of that. It's a very simple design. The Shakers loved simplicity. And they didn't mind inventions or machines. They weren't like that. They liked designing things and making things that made work easier. They liked their tasks, and why not? What are you going to do all day? Why not make a rug? It takes days and days to make a rug. It takes days and days to do your clothing, make it, weave and all that, or spin wool. But why not? What else are you going to do besides do the work that leads to your subsistence? So it's kind of nice. It's kind of a nice, a lot of the work we do, you say, I can't, I go to work every day and I press data into a machine. I can't see really how this benefits anybody. Bless you, I don't know exactly either. I think maybe that brings us down a little bit. But I guess it's just, you know, hey, we already bought this car, so we're going to have to like it. I don't know if there's any way of going back to just raising food and everything, but when you can go experience it and dig in the dirt and labor that way, at the end of the day, you go, man, I think I just built a house that we can now live in. It's pretty wonderful. So the Shaker furniture had a very simple design and practical design and became very popular years later, and people liked it and wanted that beautiful handiwork, because they would, not only were they making something, they were doing it as an act of religious devotion too. They were putting their spirit into it. They were saying, we're going to put meaning into everything we do, which is a beautiful way. I'm sure they believe lots of wacky things. Who doesn't? We all do. And I don't subscribe to any one way of living my life, really. But I'm inspired by their designs and the way they made things. A simple broom. It's a wonderful thing. It's not a very efficient thing, is it? But it's a beautiful thing, and you need it. You don't want a lot of dirt in your house, necessarily. You know, you're tracking mud in, the mud dries, and you get all this, get it out of here. And your house is never going to be fully clean. Again, it's a futile exercise. But I saw a couple objects that really got me thinking. And one was a Shaker wheelchair. It was just an ordinary rocking chair, and it had been converted. They had stuck some casters on the back, and so they could wheel somebody around, because, you know, we go through stages of our life. Once a young person, then you're an old person. Maybe you can't move around. Maybe you can't walk anymore. And they still wanted to take care of each other and move them around and get them to the singing and prayer services and everything. So they made a wheelchair. And it was a good design. It just had two wheels in the back. You got to kind of tip it down. But you could get that person around and then put it down, and it was stable. And they'd stay there. And I thought, how beautiful. This object is a reflection of their care for one another. When we see that, when we do archaeology, when I say we, I mean smart people, they'll say, oh, this society took care of their old or their infirmed. They carried them around. They didn't abandon them. And that's a beautiful thing that touches us. We see animals do that. Say, oh, the elephants, they mourn, they bury their dead, it looks like. They have boneyards. And that touches our hearts, because we say, I know what it is to love and be loved. I hope you do. Maybe you don't. If you don't, let me give you a little bit of mine. I have an abundance of it. Somebody dropped off too much love here. I got so much of it, I'm giving it away. Oh, please come get it. Free. We'll put a sign at the curb that says, free, come on and take it. People get suspicious when, oh, what's wrong with it? Does it got fleas? Does it got bed bugs? My love? I don't know, maybe it does. It's not perfect. My love is not perfect. It might be stained. I kept a chair for a long time that had big stain on it. Looked as if somebody had maybe wet themselves or something in it. I don't care. It's human beings. That's what happens. You know? It's never fully clean anyway. Nothing's really clean, only in our imagination. It's all soiled with a wonderful filth of humanity, of living, of life. Everything gets dirty. Everything's mixed up in this wonderful. We're living on a big ball of dirt with rotten stuff. And, oh, I couldn't be happier about that. But you're welcome to some of my love. It'd be better if it was in person or you're getting it all around you. I understand that, but maybe just a little bit, you know. If you're thirsty, just a thimbleful of water can be a blessing. And so I'm just trying to give you that, trying to give it away. When I have strength, I see it like I've grown some crops, like I have cucumbers or okra or something. Now, I guess I could put it up. To extend the metaphor here, I could stick it in cans and everything. But usually when people have an abundance of a crop, they give it away. Say, I got all this extra squash. You want any? My neighbor was always pushing kale on me. Well, she'd come over and she'd say, I've all this kale. I've grown too much kale. She was Swiss-French. She says, take the kale. I go, I can't. That's a lot of kale, you know. What am I going to do with it? Cook it. And eat it. Like, I know that. But when you have a lot of it, what are you going to do with it? So I just give it away. You know, here, I got some strength now. I don't always. Maybe something ate my crops. Maybe I don't have any. And maybe you remember that I gave you some once. You give me some in my time of need. And that's how human beings, that's how we do it. We give it away. We give it to each other. We help one another, don't we? It's always best when we do that, I think. Somebody has a need, and you can fill it, And what you do is you're propagandizing, really, in a good way. That's okay. It's not a bad word. People think it's a bad word. Why shouldn't you promote the things you value? Why shouldn't you? Why shouldn't I get up and proclaim that I think love and helpfulness and taking care of one another is the way to do it? I'm not going to present both sides. Or there's extreme selfishness. I don't want to let somebody else promote that. That's fine. I'm sure my way is flawed. I'm sure I'm some sort of utopian or idealist. I don't care, because I think that'd be a wonderful way to do things. Now, of course, we got anger. Of course, we're all going to do, but that's where forgiveness comes in. Please, tolerate me a little bit. You don't have to tolerate me if I get really horrid. Wouldn't expect that. But when I say tolerance, I mean tolerate the things that ought to be tolerated, the basic human flaws that sometimes I mess up. Sometimes I'm going to say things, lash out in anger because I'm scared. I have fear. Who doesn't have fear? We're born with fear. Coming to this world, it's just all warm. Now I'm not. Babies cry because they have no other way of saying, I need. And so they weep and they scream. They can't tell you exactly what that need is. Maybe they don't know yet. They just feel need. And when they're content, they are content. And maybe they don't know why they're content. So we really just have those two modes, don't we? Screaming and crying and content. And we don't always know what we need, so we can't always ask for it. And so sometimes we cry and we scream and we stomp our feet. And you have to understand that about human beings. Imagine not really knowing what you need, but knowing that you need something. Oh, I don't know exactly what you need, so I try to have a general store. Come on into the general store. We've got everything. No, we don't. Okay, I don't mean literally everything. But we have baking soda, we got those candy sticks, we got other brooms and a little got bottle caps in case you want to put a cap on a bottle. Do you have bottles? Oh, let me write that down. I'll write that down because that's a good thing. I would love suggestions of things to have. Not literally for the show. I've got ideas for that, but I don't always have ideas for my literal general store. You have a literal general store? No, I don't. It'd be nice, though. I'd be like Mr. Drucker on Green Acres. Or so, I guess sometimes he was on other... There was a lot of crossover there on those shows. They were all created by the same guy. He had gone to, like, some place in Tennessee, and he was like, man, these people are simpletons. I guess he didn't really do it for the right reason, but, you know, there are all those... weird Beverly Hillbillies, Green Acres, Petticoat Junction. And people are kind of fascinated with people living a simple life. And the thing is that I think at the core they're slightly condescending, but once you start to apply it, you go, there seems to be some nobility in that, in the simple. And you end up liking Jed better than you like Mr. Drysdale. Isn't that funny? And I think you're supposed to make fun of Jed, but there's nothing to make fun of, really. How's he expected to know about things he doesn't know about? Why would he know about these fancy things? Why wouldn't they crave the simplicity of their life at home? Why wouldn't they? You need food, you go out and you look for it. You need medicine, you make your medicine. I'm not saying that's the best way to live. I love modern medicine. I'm just saying things. And I hope that they're entertaining or comforting to you or something. Oh, I like to take you on tours. Come on in this area. Now, this is the house in which the Quaker Baker Shaker makers made the butterscotch crimpets. They would take the flour, or however you want to pronounce it, flour, and they would mix it up with sugar and chemicals, and they would make these cakes. Why are the cakes attached to one another?
Because everybody's attached to somebody, in a way, attached to something at least. All little crimpets come together in twos. It's symbolic, somehow, of the universe, of God's relationship to creation. It is one, it is separate, but it's only separate because you think it is, or something like that.
Are you saying
Tasty Cakes was actually founded by Baruch Spinoza?
I don't think a lot of people understand that either.
No, I don't know if that's true. Why wouldn't it be true? I don't know. Maybe it is true. It is in my universe. I'm making up my own universe. And so I've there's all sorts of things I'm going to put in it. It's like when you're making your own guitar. Who does that? I don't know. There are people. But you want to say, oh, I like the neck on this guitar, but I like the body on this guitar. So I'm going to make a Frankenstein guitar. Frankenstein is the luthier, not the guitar. And so you make this thing assembled from parts that you like, and you create a sort of life out of it. And that's how I do the show. I'm a creator. But am I? Am I really creating anything? Am I just putting it together? And maybe I'm an arranger. Maybe we're all arrangers. I'd like that. Just moving things around. I'm not creating radishes. I'm just putting seeds in the ground. They're kind of creating themselves. Everything is creating itself. Oh, that's why I exist. That's how you know. That's why Bishop Berkeley was wrong. To be is to be perceived. Well, no. No. Well, so Bishop, why is there still a tree in the forest when I'm not there? Because God is perceiving it. Oh, okay, so it's always perceived. Yes. So it really isn't, if it's always perceived, it really isn't contingent on anything. That perception is some sort of, you know, baseline, some sort of constant state. Then being is some sort of constant state, and you're just given names to it. So yeah, it's there, but maybe it is everything is just perceiving itself. Maybe there is a oneness. You know, in some mystical traditions, it begins with a singularity. All right. God or whatever, everything is just one thing, undistinguished, no parts, like a ball of clay. And then I guess that singularity becomes lonely or something. And so it says, man, maybe I need to separate myself from myself so that I can't know everything. So there's some things that are unknown. So it splits apart, it cracks apart. It explodes apart, and all of its substance becomes separated from everything else. And it makes time, and it makes matter. And all of a sudden, the star doesn't know that it's related to the chipmunk. It thinks it's two separate things. And we live in a fractured universe. This is what I call these my fractured fairy tales. Once upon a time, there was a man who lived in a fantasy world, and he had a radio show, and he would say things that he thought were profound, but they were really confusing. Yes, thank you, sir. I do that. I do constantly. I do all sorts of things. I do this show out. So you're going to do-do one out? I think I'm going to go do-do. Give me an hour and I'll do-do out a show. Oh, I think that we all need some do. People are learning to make things out of real duty. They say, oh, you know, it's waste. If we can take the stink out of it and the moisture out of it, maybe we can take that stuff and do something with it. You can certainly do that with cow manure. If you can get all the stink out of it, you got good fuel there. I'm going to burn up some poo. What's that? Is that a nuclear plant? No, that's a big poo plant. We all run on that. Oh, that would be great. Say, what are you doing? I am making renewable energy.
I'll be out in a minute. That's what I would like to do that. Because all recycled, the whole universe recycles anyway. Nothing is wasted, apparently. That's what I understand from physicists. You think you're throwing things away. Nothing goes away. There is no away. There's nowhere to throw. You know, it might be out of your sight, but tons of things are out of your sight. Doesn't mean they don't exist. What about the lonely? Just because you don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. What about those in pain? Just because you don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. What about those who are happy, who feel love? Just because you don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. Oh, yes. They are perceived. Always. In some way. Oh, I know you're there. How can you speak on the radio not knowing anyone's listening? Somebody's listening. I'm listening. I'm listening to myself. That's at least one. Well, three. You're three people? 3 to 10. Yes. But I know that somebody's out there. How do you know what they need? I don't really. But I sort of know what people need. And I know what I need. And so I can give you that. Maybe you don't like it to say, oh, I got all these leftover butterscotch crimpets. I've got so many of them, I'm giving them to you. Thank you. I don't really like them. All right. Not everybody would. Not everybody would like the kale. Some of you are going, kale? Oh, I can't stand kale. I'm not like a huge fan. And if they were collards, I'd be a little more excited. And but I found out how to cook it. And I eat it just the same. And it's not bad. It's not bad at all. I like most everything that grows in a garden. Except I can't get rhubarb. I'm going to get there. I'll get there. But I love okra. Took me a while because it's mucousy. And it's hard to eat a mucousy vegetable. But it's delicious in all its forms. Fried or with stewed up with tomato. And I like most kind of squashes. Summer squash. I like zucchini that a lot of you listeners call courgette. That's another way of saying it. That's fine. Some of you call cilantro coriander. That's okay. Some of you don't like cilantro. That's okay. It's fine. I don't know what you need, so I'll give you all. You can pass it on if you don't say, I'm not wild about the cilantro, so I'm going to give it on to somebody else. And that person will go, oh, coriander. Thank you. I like coriander with my courgette. All right, thank you. I used to drive one of them. Oh, my friends. Are you my friends? Don't say, shush, 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 shush. Don't speak. Don't speak. I don't need to know. That's why I'm on the radio. Because you go, no, I'm not your friend, buddy. You called me buddy, though. That's encouraging. You know? That's like saying, I'm not your friend. You're conflicted, aren't you? I can't stand this guy. I'm sure somebody, thank goodness that I can't hear anybody say that, because I know it must happen. Man, I can't stand this guy on the radio right now. And you've done the right thing by clicking. That's for sure. But, oh my gosh, I'm glad I can't hear that. Could you imagine? And people have said it to your face, haven't they? Can't stand you, or I don't like you, or you don't know. You get sad, then you get mad, then you don't like them. It's hard to like anybody who doesn't like you. I remember my friend, I call the Ben paradox. I said, Ben, I like you. And Ben said, you like me because I like you. And I was like, man, you're right. What? That's the Ben paradox. Where does it start? Where does the love start? Where does the acceptance start? It's almost a paradox. I like people who like me. I'm not going to lie to you. It's very difficult to say, oh, I love my enemy. You want to, and that's good, you know, and philosophically you may, but I highly doubt you love your enemy. You probably, at the very least, fear your enemy, resent your enemy, hate your enemy, even. And that seems natural to me. Why wouldn't you? especially if somebody wants you dead. Why exactly would I love them? I'll tell you one thing. I want somebody to love them, because that might be the problem. Get this person some love over here. If you can. If they'll accept your love, go ahead and love them. Try to heal their heart. Because I don't stand a chance, because they already hate me. I don't have their ear. They already hate me. Do you understand? If you can help somebody accept others, please do it. If they trust you because you look like them, try to get them to think right. Because I ain't going to do it. And people who look different like them, they're not going to have as much sway. So please, let's start with concentric circles. Get yourself right. Get you right. Get the next circle right. I don't know if it's friends, family, all the people that you see on a regular basis who you say, I love, they're part of my, they might be your family, and might maybe not. Okay? People are alienated. I'm alienated from a lot of people in my family. Some people don't like me in my family. And to be frank, some people I don't like. But some family I do, and they would be the next ring. And then friends. And then neighbors. And then community. And outward, that way, and get them all right. And sometimes it takes a lifetime just to do the one, you. All right? But if you can spread that, that's the only way I see it happening. Because if I was to just stand up in front of the whole nation and say, nation, listen to me. World, listen to me. Who are you? I don't even speak your language. Oh, okay. Well, that'll be difficult. Or we speak a language, but we speak a different dialect. Or we speak the same dialect, but I have different words for things than you do. Then what? So I can really only speak to people who speak my language. And sometimes it's just people my age and experience and ethnicity, whatever that is. So I say, oh yeah, remember the Globetrotter cartoon? I think it had good values. People go, yeah, I agree with you. I like cartoon Metal Ark, even though it's clearly Scatman Crothers. But, you know, that then young people are going, I don't know what you're talking about. I know, I'm sorry. Well, that's why we have also with the religious traditions and everything. I can't come to your house of worship, and I don't know exactly what y'all been learning. You know, sometimes you can speak people's language if y'all maybe believe the same thing, but other times you can't. And so I'm asking you to please, could you spread kindness? Could you spread love to people? Could you spread that idea of healing? It would just make everything better. You know, when you perform a wedding ceremony, you say to the people getting married, individuals getting married, you want to stick together for better or worse. And they go, yeah. I do. But they never really understand what worse is. And I don't think as people we kind of understand what worse is. Some do. Those who have experienced torment and war or imprisonment for whatever reason. You know, you say, well, my compassion is limited to people who've never made mistakes. Ugh, they don't need it as much. There are people in prison. Well, they got there. Yeah, we all did things. Who knows how you get somewhere? Sometimes it's things you did. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes you don't have choices. Sometimes you wish you hadn't have done something, but you're right in the middle of the consequence of it. It doesn't mean you're not suffering. Prison is suffering. And I understand why people go there. And I don't know what to do with people who murder or anything any more than you do. But I know it's suffering. War is suffering. I know that's suffering. Physical pain is suffering. When people get sick, there's a lot of times where Job's comforters, well, you must have done something. What kind of cancer you have? Because then, let me see, you must have had too much something. What did you do? You must have somehow brought it on yourself. Otherwise, if it's just something that happens, my head's going to explode because that means it could happen to me. and I'm trying not to see myself in you. But, oh Lord, if it can happen to anyone, it can happen to you. And war is horrid. It's horrid, and violence is horrid. You know, during wars, and this, it doesn't matter when it is, all right? You know this from movies. I just watched the movie Ugetsu by Mizoguchi. I hope I said that right. Instead of Uzo, the filmmaker, I think I said Uno or something ridiculous. Like, I hate when I misspeak, but I do it all the time. I make mistakes. But I was watching this movie, and there was a civil war, and boy, they were, one guy just couldn't wait to be a samurai. He wanted to get a spear and go fight. I'm going to do it. He had no idea of what the sacrifice was, of what the consequences were. And all wars have been like that. People get all jazzed up. Oh, I'm going to do it. I'm a warrior. I'm not afraid to kill and take life and everything. I'm not, boy, the horror. You know, the reality of suffering is unimaginable compared to your imagination, isn't it? And the reality of pleasure is unimaginable compared to your imagination. Real love, real joy. You can't even imagine it until you feel it. I could talk about that lemon pie all day long. And until it's right in front of you and you smell that sweet, wonderful smell and you taste that tart sweetness and that beautiful combination of flavors and that simplicity of it, you won't really fully understand until it washes over you. And so be aware that we are creating this world, or we're cultivating it. We're planting seeds that will grow. If you plant bad seeds, bad things grow. And you might not see it right away. I'm just scattering these seeds around. I don't care what happens to you. Drop dead. All this kind of seeds. The seeds of slander. Putting people down. Cast those seeds out like they're not going to grow. Oh, they don't stay seeds, man. If they find fertile soil, they will grow. I've seen it. And people say, well, what about the simple? What about love and everything? I feel like I'm powerless. They're seeds too. You plant those and they grow too. And they grow excruciatingly slowly. And maybe you won't even see them bear fruit. That's why an olive tree is a beautiful metaphor. A lot of people plant olive trees, will never see them really bear fruit in their lifetime. But I have seen olive trees that are 1,000 years old. Oh, yes. Some even older than that. I have been in the presence of olive trees that were planted in the times of the Romans. Imagine that. And now, look at all those olives. I am feeling the love from 1,000 years ago. The love of 2,000 years ago radiating into my heart now because somebody planted a seed that they knew they would not see turn into a tree. And that's a beautiful thing. It doesn't even require much faith, does it? You see the proof all around you. Where do you think all that came from? There are seeds that have been planted and there are trees that now grow that love are trees. We have groves of it. And yet, there are those in their ignorance who insist on cutting down our groves, our beautiful fruit groves, our beautiful nut groves, our olive groves. They're cutting them down as if it's something that can be immediately replaced. We must go generations now without our groves. And I have to shake my head and just plant a seed.
Say, well, I know, if the grove cutting stops at least, that someone else will benefit from this. Because I've watched my inheritance be destroyed. And constantly is. Nothing's ever been perfect. We're always in a state of repairing injustice, watching people persecute others. Yet the reminders are everywhere. No matter where you are, you're walking on soil where evil things have happened and good things have happened. And so you must be aware. Oh, my friends, I'm glad you came with me. Keep your ticket. There's a raffle at the end. No, there's not. There's not. Just keep it as a memento. Put it in your book. I love you. Oh, my goodness, you opened my heart. I've been shown so much love doing this show. It's amazing. You have given me so many gifts. You say, how do you give me gifts? I don't know. Have I? I don't know. I just said pouring forth. Here, take it, here, take it, here, take it, here, take it. I don't know if it's useful to you. And then when you say it is, I'm over the moon. But I didn't plan it. I have no plans. I'm just passing on what's been passed on to me. I inherited something. Love. I'm letting you have it. I'm not here. I've got so much of it. And then when I'm gone, you know, take all of mine. And just keep passing it on. It's a beautiful thing. It's like instruments. They're for the living. Pass them on to the living. Don't put things in museums. Keep them going. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad you made it to the end of this show. I feel so blessed. You've given me the greatest gift. Oh, it's a simple gift. 'Tis the joy to be simple, 'tis the joy to be simple, simple joy to be simple, simple gifts. I don't know, man. I don't remember lyrics. I wish I could remember things, poetry and lyrics and all. But I do remember kindnesses, and I hope I never forget them. And should my brain break down and I forget, you just come and remind me. That'd be wonderful. So here's that little bit of okra you gave me 10 years ago. All right. It still looks fresh. That's because I took the seeds and I planted them. And then I took the seeds from that okra and I kept replanting it. And so now the okra I'm giving back to you looks like the same okra that you had 10 years ago. Thank you. Who are you? I am your friend, and I am Hardy White, and this is Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, where miracles happen spontaneously, and online, WFMU.org, worldwide. Potentially the whole world is hearing my silly voice, my simple voice. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if the voice of a simpleton could make the world better? Can you imagine?